Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly, the films Black Bag, Control Freak, and Ephes.
Well, I'd like to start off today by talking about the new movie by Steven Soderbergh, and I think I said words very similar to that just something like a month ago, because Steven Soderbergh, it's very ironic. He actually announced his retirement from filmmaking, roughly a dozen years ago. But hey, he just goes right on making movies. Filmmakers do that every once in a while. Some filmmakers do. The great Ingmar Bergman, for example, once announced that he was retiring from filmmaking, and that sounded very logical. He also ran an enormously important theater company in Sweden and so forth and so on, but he went right on making movies. He just sort of made TV movies instead of theatrical movies, but he kept right on. And Steven Soderbergh has sort of done the same. He announced he was going to retire, and then he decided he wasn't going to retire. Now he's got two new movies out in a very, very short period of time, and they're both pretty good. I talked recently about Presence, which is a horror film, which very much involves Steven's Steadicam. Steven Soderbergh's movies are always, the director of photography is always Peter Andrews, which is a pseudonym for Steven Soderbergh himself. He not only directs his movies, but he photographs them. So the Steadicam was really the star of Presence a few weeks ago. Now Black Bag is not quite like that. It's very elegantly shot, very nicely filmed, but it has a cast that really matters. It's a pretty good movie. It's a spy movie, but it's also kind of a family movie, and in any case, it's a good movie. Like Presence, it was written by David Kopp, so Soderbergh and he are working very closely together these days, and I think they've got a real winner here. If you like movies with suspense and movies with intriguing characters and movies where things aren't happening every single moment, but a lot of things do happen, then, you know, Black Bag is a good movie. The title of Black Bag, yes, I got to explain that. Basically, if you don't want to, well, these people, almost all the characters in this movie are spies. So if you don't want to reveal something, if you can't reveal something, if you simply would find it uncomfortable to reveal something, you tell the person you are talking with, oh, black bag. And that means it goes in the black bag and nobody can talk about it. And it's going to remain a secret known only to whoever is supposed to know about it. So that's what the title means. So what we have in the story is it all starts off with most of the people also in this movie, they're not only spies, but they're couples. So we start off with a married couple. George, who is the husband of the couple, gets an assignment from his boss. There is a leak of a very, very, very secret and sensitive and important computer program, which is called Severus. And George has given the assignment of finding out who has done this leak. And it has to be done quickly because there could be a meltdown of a nuclear plant because of this, which would kill an astonishing number of people. So this is all an emergency situation. So, okay, George has got to find out who did this leak. And there's only a small number of people, a grand total of five people who might have been able to do this leak. So George has got to find out who it is. However, one of the five suspects is his own wife. Her name is Catherine. And I should mention now that George is wonderfully played by Michael Fassbender, who makes a very convincing spy. And Catherine is played by Kate Blanchett, who also makes a very convincing spy. They're very, very good. And the supporting cast, by the way, is also really, really, really solid. So how does George go about investigating this leak and trying to find out what's going on, all on a very tight deadline? Well, the first thing he does is to invite everybody over for dinner. So there they are sitting around, all the suspects sitting around the table, having no idea that he's investigating them, and he dopes their food so that they're going to be uninhibited and they're going to say things they might not ordinarily say. And that's what gets the whole movie started. Now, the whole movie is not about this dinner party. The movie moves on. We go to other places. We have other things happen. At one point, there's a rather suspenseful scene where George persuades another agent to let him get into a satellite system he's not supposed to get into so he can investigate something and try to find out what's going on. So that's a very big deal in the movie. And then little things play a part as well. For example, George spots the stub for a movie ticket in his wife's wastebasket at home. And he just realizes that she's going to this movie when she had claimed she was doing something else. Or is that just a clue that somebody has planted there and it's not real? So it's a spy movie. So we have all sorts of wheels within wheels and different things happening. And well, it all gets very suspenseful. There's a little bit of violence, but really not very much. It's really a very measured movie and a very, very, very restrained movie for a spy movie. It's certainly not an action movie, although there's even a tiny little bit of what we might call action in it. It's a good movie. Steven Soderbergh is a really, really good genre filmmaker, and this is very much a genre film. It's a spy movie, but it has all kinds of little twists and turns that I, at least, was not expecting, and it's beautifully acted and elegantly filmed. So I really do recommend Black Bag. It's a good, solid, modern-day entertainment movie. Maybe nothing really deep going on in it, but I had a good time watching it. Black Bag, don't put it in the black bag. I suggest giving it a shot. Next of all, I would like to talk about, yes, another horror movie. They do keep coming out these days, don't they? My gosh, one horror movie after another. This is a movie called Control Freak. And I guess that's sort of horrific in its way. If you're too much of a control freak, that can be horrific for people. And it was written and directed by Shao Ngoc, who is of Vietnamese heritage, and the main character of this movie, a young woman named Valerie, or Val, is also of Vietnamese heritage. And what happens is that Val gets an itch on her head. Okay, so far it doesn't sound like a horror movie, does it? She keeps scratching the itch. The itch won't go away. Now, don't get the idea here that she's going to start scratching all the way through her skull or something, even though this is a horror movie, and even though things sort of like that eventually do happen. But this itch on her head just sort of starts things off. The itch is tormenting, so what's causing it? Can she put some sort of medicine on it? Can she put something she's got at home on it? Should she go to a physician and get it treated? Okay. Now, this is a horror movie, as I keep saying. So, yep, it turns out there is a demon involved. So, that's one thing going on here. Maybe the real control freak of this movie is the demon. However, Val herself, by profession, is a motivational speaker. She travels around. She's enormously popular. She has a big book that people read, and she gives speeches, and she talks to audiences, and it's all about taking, you get it, control of your own life. So here we have this woman who herself is something of a control freak, and she teaches other people how to get more control over their lives, but now she has this itch on her head, which she seems to be unable to control, and eventually it turns out that, yes, there is a demon involved in this. So as I said earlier, maybe the demon is the real control freak of this movie. So a lot of this movie also involves Val's father, who is a drug addict and who she has various contacts with over the course of the movie. And he has his own obvious problems with control. Drugs have taken control of his life, but maybe not complete control. And there's also some talk about Vietnamese culture and Vietnamese heritage and Vietnamese superstition and Vietnamese demonology. So all these things come together in this movie, Control Freak. So as a horror movie, as a monster movie, as what's often called a kind of a body horror movie, Control Freak works fairly well. I didn't find it all that suspenseful. I didn't even find it all that persuasive, but it's very carefully shot. It's very, very, very well acted by a cast consisting largely of Vietnamese actors, although not entirely. Val, for example, has an Anglo boyfriend who is a very important character in the movie, played by Miles Robbins, and he's very, very good. So, it's one of these modern day racially diverse movies. I'm all for that. Again, it has a pretty interesting plot, if not always a persuasive one. So, again, horror movies keep coming out. It seems that with modern-day special effects, with modern-day digital technology, with modern-day computer-generated imagery. Horror movies are a kind of film that can be produced on reasonable budgets. You can give people a lot of shocks and thrills and chills. The big trick is, of course, to try to also have some convincing characters and some plausible plot lines and stuff like that. I would say Control Freak works reasonably well in all of those departments. Of course, the itch on the head gets more and more out of control, and ultimately it's sort of, well, let's just say, very, very bizarre and not altogether convincing. But it's an interesting way to sort of launch us into a horrific situation, and the movie itself develops along lines that I could follow and to some small extent believe, and so I had not a bad time watching it. It is streaming. It is easy to find. It's a horror movie. If that's what you want, by all means, give a shot to Control Freak. I wouldn't say that it's a movie which is 1,000% under control by its own makers. Sometimes it seems to fly a little bit off the handle, but it's not a bad modern-day horror movie. Finally, I would like to talk about a very, very, very different kind of movie. I've talked about a spy movie. I've talked about a kind of over-the-top horror movie. Now a movie which is so quiet and so restrained and so just kind of low key that it's a wonderful respite from those other kinds of movies and from most of the movies on the modern scene. It's called EPHUS. Okay, very odd title, E-E-P-H-U-S. I am not a sports person. I am not a baseball person, although of all the spectator sports, baseball is the one that I like the most. But again, I'm not a baseball person. But even baseball people might not know what an ethos is. An ethos is a kind of a pitch that goes unusually high and comes into the batter unusually slowly. So it's more like a softball pitch, apparently, than a regular hardball pitch, although it is a regular hardball pitch. And the idea is to catch the batter off guard by a pitch that comes in high and slow. Well, that is what the movie EPHUS is like. I'm not sure about the high part, but it's a movie which is so slow, so rambling, so amiable that I just found it really, really, really refreshing. So here's the situation with EPHUS. We have a whole bunch of adults who play baseball for fun on a local baseball field. The whole thing takes place in central Massachusetts. And the trouble is that the baseball field is just about to be leveled. It's not going to be there anymore because a school is being built on the spot. So now this is when we get ourselves ready as regular movie watchers that we all are for to find out about the awful corporate conglomerate or something that's going to build a new high-rise or a new supermarket or something on this spot where this beloved baseball field is. No, no, no. It turns out that a public school is going to be built on this spot. And nothing bad is going on here. It's just that the men won't have their baseball field anymore. Okay, surely there's a baseball field elsewhere nearby. There is, in a nearby town. But none of the men want to go there. They're so angry and just upset and disappointed that their beloved field that they've been playing on for fun for years is going to be gone, that they're just not going to play baseball anymore. That's it. It's sort of cutting off their noses to spite their faces, but that's the way they are. And yes, these are to some extent a bunch of grumpy old men. They're not that old. They're sort of middle-aged. Some of them are older. But they're not really all that grumpy, but they love their baseball field. And if it's not going to be there, then they're just not going to play baseball anymore. And so what do? They have their last game, and that is what EPHUS shows. EPHUS takes place in one day. The beginning of the day, right through to the end of the day, the baseball game is played. The movie is not about the baseball game. It's almost in the background. What we mostly have is these guys hanging around, shooting the breeze, expressing their discontent with the future because their baseball field's going to be gone, just working through their various interpersonal relations. And it's just a lovely, laid-back, low-key movie that's just a pleasure to watch. I'll quote a couple of things that I'm not the first critic to quote. These is quite wonderful. But one of the men in the movie explains what an ethos is and says it stays in the air forever. You get bored watching it. I get bored. Okay. That's the way Ephus would be if the characters weren't so engaging. You would get bored watching them, except that they're just fun to be with. They are hanging out with each other, and we are hanging out with them. And another person says in that same exchange of dialogue, an Ephus is kind of like baseball. You're looking around for something to happen, and then the game's over. And that's sort of the way it is with this movie Ephus. You're waiting around for something to happen, and then the movie's over. But again, it's just fun to hang out with these guys. Now, don't get me wrong, Ephus is not a great movie. I wasn't enthralled by every moment of it, but I had a really good time watching it. It's got a couple of little jokes in it. For example, a baseball announcer who we hear is actually voiced by the great documentary filmmaker, Frederick Wiseman. Kind of fun to know that he's in the cast of the movie, even though we don't actually see him. So there are little things like that going on, but mainly it's just a fun, low-key movie that you watch and you hang out and then you go home. Nice movie, good movie, Ephus, really worth giving it a shot. So that is my somewhat horrific and somewhat laid-back story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Black Bag, Control Freak, and Ephus.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera National Theater Live and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.